This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilman rabbal alamin. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni 'ibadatik. Amma ba'd. So in hadith number 13, our hadith for tonight, inshallah, or today, if you're watching us and it's daytime. It's a famous hadith, it's a well-known hadith. And it's where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minu al-qawiyu khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'ifi wa fi kullin khayr. He said, the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, though there is good in both. Then he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billahi wa la ta'jaz. Strive to attain what benefits you and seek Allah's assistance and do not be helpless. وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And if a misfortune befalls you, if something bad happens to you, do not say, if I had done this and that, it would have been this and that, meaning different. The outcome would have been different. But say, Allah had decreed and He does whatever He decrees, whatever He wants, whatever He wills. فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Because that statement of, if I had done differently, that opens the work and the door for the work of the shaitan. So this hadith is an important hadith on many levels, and we are going to be focusing on a question of why is it that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves the strong believer more. And I want you to think about the answer to that question as we are explaining the hadith. See if you can get why is it that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves the strong believer more than the weak believer. Though the Prophet said there is good in both, but the strong believer stands higher and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is a reason for that. Now, let's answer the question of what do we mean by the strong believer. What type of strength are we talking about? We understand strength to be physical strength. That's one kind of strength. And if we were to imagine that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was referring to physical strength, then we would wonder, why would physical strength make a person more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, and would it? So one physical strength, one aspect of physical strength is an endowed natural strength. Meaning naturally, he is stronger than the other person, naturally. And we understand from the Quran, from the Sunnah, that if Allah Azza wa Jal gifts you a physical gift, that in itself does not favor you, doesn't make you better in the eyes of people, even though people favor you because of it. So people favor a color above another, right? People do that. People favor the attractive and the beautiful over those who are not, so they enjoy more attention and praise. And they get more of what they want in the dunya because they're more attractive. But obviously, this is not how Allah Azza wa Jalla looks at people. Physical strength, if Allah just gave it to you, that's not in itself a reason for you to be better in Allah with Allah Azza wa Jalla. With humanity, yes. With humanity, they love the strong. They admire them physically, right? Meaning the beauty of the physique of the strong. And the actions of the strong, that they admire. But Allah Azza wa Jalla simply gave you this, so this cannot be the reason that is stated in the hadith. And even a person interjects and says, well, some strength is acquired, isn't it? Because you could exercise and you could build up your muscles and you could be stronger. Does that make you more favorable in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal? Just like if you beautify yourself more, does that make you more beautiful in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal? Well, we say this exists only at the superficial skin level, at the physical level, even if you acquire it. The question here is, why are you acquiring all of that? So you understand that, and we're going to make a generalization here, but most people who acquire physical strength, are they doing it for Allah Azza wa Jal? No, right? And most people who exercise, they go to the gym, are they doing it for Allah Azza wa Jal? No, they're not. They're doing it for the sake of the self, of how they look at themselves and how other people look at them, for admiration, for praise. And in fact, the attention that we pay to the physical self oftentimes, because it's not grounded in iman, moves us away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, not closer to it. So what happens when you feel that you're stronger? You become more what? Humble or arrogant? Arrogant. When you think that you have become thinner and more beautiful, do you become more arrogant or humble? Arrogant. So it doesn't actually feed your iman when you focus on the physical like that without a grounding in taqwa and in knowledge and in proximity to Allah Azza wa Jalla. You actually stray further away from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of these physical strength. Just think about most people who have money, how their money doesn't help them come closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla, but becomes an obstacle. Isn't it? The money, most of the time, is an obstacle that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to struggle against that physical gift to be closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then we understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla is not really talking about physical strength, not about physical power. And we have something from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in another hadith to confirm this. It is where he said alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal does not look at your appearances and money, but He looks at what? Your hearts and deeds. Which is really ironic when you think about how we look at people. How do we look at people? When you value, when you want to estimate a person, when you want to judge a person, you judge them based on what? These two categories, appearance and money. All the news. And really, this is important for you to internalize, because you have to resist this every single day and have it not affect you. The news, when it focuses on celebrities and entertainers and famous people, their fame because of what? Comes from what? These two things. An appearance that is attractive, or a money that they generate somehow. If not, no one cares about you. Yet subhanAllah, for all those who do not have this and they feel left out and neglected and ignored, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is telling them, Allah does not see you the way humans see you, which is so comforting and soothing. Allah does not look at you the way humanity looks at you, but He looks at what is deep inside, which is your heart. If you fix it, if it's pure, and if it is right, then you are great with Allah Azza wa Jal. And so also, a person does not say, well, it's only on the inside, and it doesn't matter what I do on the outside. The hadith adds, وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ, and your deeds. So your deeds matter. So we here understand that it's not that skin deep, superficial strength that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about, and which Allah Azza wa Jal admires. And you can even expand this physical strength to include, or strength in general, to include power. People are powerful in speech. Those who are attractive, they have power. Those who have money, they have power. Those who have lineage, they have power. So have all types of power. That power gives you access. Does this make you better with Allah Azza wa Jal? On its own, it doesn't. Right? So another hadith that is also well known, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرَعَةِ ولكن الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. The one who is strong is not the one who overpowers people physically, because that's the standard definition, but is the one who controls himself when they are angry. It tells you that Islam, that the Quran, that the Sunnah redefine what power is. Now, if you have iman, you are required, you are asked, you are recommended to seek power. But here, for the sake of what? Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not for the sake of the self, not for the elevation of one's name or status, but for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, so that this power of yours could serve Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that ideally, everything that you must have, that you have, that you want to have, you want to redirect it in ways that serve Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in that way it becomes valuable, and in that way it lasts, and in that way it helps you, and it has meaning, because otherwise it comes back to harm you. Right? Your own obsession with your own physical power or beauty, if it's allowed to run wild without any restraint, comes back to destroy you. And if you just need evidence, why do people go through plastic surgery? For what? Right? Or they take injections to become more powerful with bigger muscles. For what? That obsession had come from what? An obsession with the self without the filter of the divine. Without Allah Azza wa Jalla telling them, stop, this is too much. Stop, this is not your focus. This is not how you're supposed to be thinking about your physical body. Physical body should be in service of other things that are higher. It doesn't become the center. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare for them, meaning for your enemies, whatever power you can amass. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla is commanding the Muslims that in order for you to protect yourselves, defend yourselves, you need to have some sort of power. But what is it for? لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And that's how Allah Azza wa Jal blesses you with your power. And in fact, for those who want real power and a real blessing from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll see a couple of evidence to illustrate that, the more pleasing you are of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more powerful you will be. طيب. The more pleasing you are of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives you more power. So there is just one example, and then in a couple of minutes we'll bring another example. But in one example here where Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَيَقَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. It says, "And my people, ask Allah to forgive you, your Rabb to forgive you, and then repent to Him. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send the rain upon you abundantly. Meaning He will bless you with rain. وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. And He increases you in power in addition to the power that you have. Meaning you are powerful. But if you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and you repent, what do you get first? As this ayah says, blessings from the sky, meaning rain, that Allah blesses the land, blesses the crops, the animals, the money that you have. And then physically, He gives you more power. He gives you children. He gives you progeny. He blesses your families. Where does this come from? Allah Azza wa Jal. Because of iman. So iman gives you power, in addition to the power that you seek. So anybody else who wants any blessing, worldly blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, don't seek it from the haram. You want to be beautiful? You want to be attractive? You know the best thing to do? Obey Allah Azza wa Jal. Because sin leaves a black mark on the face and on the heart. But you want to really be beautiful? Obey Allah Azza wa Jal, because a light will emanate from you. You want to be physically strong? Obey Allah Azza wa Jal. He'll preserve your physical strength for you. You want blessings in your money and your children? Obey Allah and avoid the haram. So the more that you do of this, the more power Allah Azza wa Jal gives to you. But if you disobey Him in the name of power, as people do today, if you want to be more powerful, what do? They go against Allah Azza wa Jal. You don't realize that, Allah is going to take that power away from you sooner or later. So subhanAllah. Again, it is catastrophic, ironic, how the very thing that we are seeking, we will be denied because we upset Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, examples, or the strong believer that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves is the believer of Iman. Al-Mu'min al-Qawi, who is khayrun wa ahab, better and more beloved to Allah than the weaker. We are talking about the believer who is strong in his Iman, even though he may be physically weak. Now, if he's strong and he uses his strength to obey Allah Azza wa Jal, that's a bonus. But the actual thing that is being praised here is the strength of Iman. Because the presence of one person with Iman, though he may be physically weak, he can't help it, physically weak, is better than 10 with weak Iman who are physically strong. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said something similar to la sawtu talhata fil jaysh khayru min alfi rajul. Is the sound of Talha radiallahu anhum ajma'in, the sound of Talha radiallahu anhu in the army, in his presence, is better than 1,000 men. Right? Here we're not talking about human physical strength, because no one human can overcome 1,000. But with Allah Azza wa Jal, His presence is better than the presence of 1,000. So you understand here. And another hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, وَهَلْ تُنصَرُونَ وَتُرْزَقُونَ إِلَّا بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. Are you given victory and provided for except because of the weak among you? Right? Are you given victory and being provided for except because of the weak among you? So a person could be physically weak, but with Allah Azza wa Jal, he deserves, because of his dua and his rest presence, a victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the strength is the strength of Iman. And the strength of Iman that we want, we can say that it has three pillars. One is knowledge, and that's in the book. One is knowledge. The second is commitment. And the third is the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. You need to be strong in all three. So the first is strength in knowledge. If you are ignorant, you can't be strong. If you don't know your religion, you can't be strong. How would you know what Allah loves? How do you know what Allah hates? How do you know what to avoid? How would you be able to answer doubts and confront temptations if you have no knowledge? Because the shaitan can bring one whisper and destroy you. One whisper and misguide multitudes because of you. One. Because you don't know how to push. You don't know how to clarify. Right? So one scholar is tougher on the shaitan than 1,000 worshippers. One scholar, meaning a person who knows, is tougher and more severe against the shaitan than 1,000 worshippers, because he could sway the worshippers easily because they lack knowledge. But the alim is different. So if you want to be strong in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, then the first thing that you're supposed to do is what? Learn. To be strong, learn it. Right? And learn it with appetite, with greed even. Learn and keep learning. Whenever you find an opportunity, you learn. Whenever you find a benefit, you record it and you memorize it. And you memorize even more. Because the stronger you are, the stronger everybody around you is. You want the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to be strong beyond wishes, you'll be strong. Because you will strengthen a chain of people around you. So learn and seek it and be serious about it. That's one. The second is, and by the way, learn what? What is the foundation of our knowledge? Two things. The Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran and the Sunnah, these are the foundations. So learn your Quran, its tafsir. Learn the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and what it means. This is the foundation. Everything else comes from them. If you have that, they'll understand everything else. So that's knowledge. Second is commitment. You commit yourself. You say, this is the truth. I want to follow it. I want to understand it. I want to spread it. I want to live it. So a commitment to it beyond mere knowledge. Knowing is something, but now what do you want to do with it? So you commit yourself to it. And you decide how you want to commit yourself to it. Internally and externally, you belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the second. The third one is worship of Allah azza wa jal. And sometimes you find among us imbalance. We worship more, but no less. And some of us do the opposite. We know a lot more, but we worship less. And not until you have a balance of the two. You know and you worship, because both of them reinforce each other. The more you know, the more that you're supposed to be closer and more devoted to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives you that access. It opens your heart. But if it stops there, it hasn't done its job. But when you stand in salah, when you read the Quran, when you give sadaqah, when you fast, you feel the effect of everything that you have learned. And Allah opens other doors of knowledge and realization that were not available before. If you believe that you'll understand everything if you read a book, you're wrong. You need practice. And practice will come to reinforce, solidify, and then open your eyes to understand what you've read. And then what you've read will open other doors for you in worship, and so on and so on and so on. So this is how you become strong with Allah Azza wa Jal, a strong believer. And here is a hadith, and it's really a beautiful hadith. It's on page 139 into page 140, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about three whom Allah loves and three whom Allah hates. And you'll find evident in them a strength of iman that emanates from, if you ever wonder, how could they do these things? It must come from loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the level of sacrifice in it is great. So the first, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thalathatu yuhibbuhum Allah, three people Allah loves and three people Allah hates. The people that Allah loves, he says the first, that a man who confronts the enemy in battle, and he is among company, a battalion or people who are fighting the enemy. فَيَنْصِبُ لَهُمْ نَحْرَهُ He stands steadfast. Either he dies or they are victorious. That is, he is standing between them and his company. That is a person whom Allah Azza wa Jalla loves. Right? Until either he is killed or they are victorious. He doesn't flee. That's the first. And the second, he says, وَالْقَوْمُ يُسَافِرُونَ فَيَطُولُ سُرَاهُمْ He says, people who are traveling, and they travel long at night until they crave sleeping. حَتَّى يُحِبُّونَ أَيَّمَسُّ الْأَرْضِ They crave, they really want to sleep. So when they get off their mounts and they want to sleep, one of them steps aside and he keeps praying until he wakes them up when it's time for them to travel. And he says the third is a person who has a neighbor who hurts him, harms him. And he is patient with that harm until they are separated with either death or relocation. And he says the three whom Allah Azza wa Jal hates is a merchant who often swears falsely often upon his merchandise. وَالْبَخِيلُ الْمَنَّانِ The one who is stingy and reminds people of his favors, وَالْفَقِيرُ الْمُخْتَالِ and the arrogant poor. Now if you think about it, the first three, what prompts a person, right, to do what he did, which is that stand in the face of the enemy, in one sense protecting his company, and another sense also elevating the name of Allah Azza wa Jal until he is either killed or they are victorious, meaning he's sacrificing his life. That is strength, right? Where does this strength come from? The hours that you spend in the gym, where does it come from? From Iman, it's here. It's on the inside, right? So Umar radiallahu anhu, right, when he would speak to the Sahaba, he said, make sure you don't disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're not giving victory because of your numbers. You're giving victory because of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because most and all the times when they confronted an enemy, they overpowered them 10 times or more. So he says, it's not your numbers that gave you that strength. It is Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there's an ayah. We're going to see it soon. So this first person gave up his life. Why? Because of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Where did this strength come from? Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Iman. The second person, right? Traveling at night. Everybody is desperate, dying to sleep. He doesn't sleep. He continues to pray the remaining night until he wakes them up. How could you resist your physical body and push away sleep unless there is something much dearer to you? Who gave him that strength? They couldn't. They couldn't. Physically, they're exhausted. Who gave him that strength to continue to pray? Now, Iman is something different. Iman is a different level. It's a different experience. And the third person who had a bad neighbor, now maybe you tell me I can't relate to the first, I can't relate to the second, but you can relate to an annoying neighbor. What makes him tolerate that neighbor and his harm till the end? Death or relocation? What type of strength and fortitude for you to, yani, that you must have to endure that day after day, day after day, day after day? Right? Can you imagine? Like at one point, right, with a neighbor that you hate, who's loud sometimes, you know, obnoxious, you know, doesn't take care of their front yard, I mean, the yard, doesn't do much. You want to just, you don't know what to do. But who gives that person the patience? Oh, that's, again, that's Iman. And that's the thing. Whenever you find yourself down and unable to tolerate and deal with things, push your Iman up so you can deal. Push your Iman up with Quran, with dua, with dhikr, with something. But push your Iman up so that you can deal with whatever is troubling you the way that they are dealing with it. And understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla is right behind you, supporting you. So you are not supporting yourself. And you're not dependent on people. You are dependent on the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So Allah gives you energy to move beyond what you're capable of. And Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you an ability that lies beyond what you think is possible for yourself. So the ayah here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yani the incredible power that it gives, he says, إِيَّكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عِشْرُونَ صَابِرُونَ يَغْلِبُوا مِئَتَيْنَ وَإِيَّكُمْ مِنْكُمْ مِئَةُ يَغْلِبُوا أَلْفًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. He says, if among you there were to be 20 who are patient, they will defeat and overpower 200. And if there were to be 100, they could overpower and defeat 1,000. Right? Of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla later in the surah, right? You know, he exempts the believers from this, and they could fight an enemy up to double their size. But this one still stands. Then, and today too? Right? Yes, today too. But the condition is what? Patience. So imagine having 20 defeating 200. Like physically, right? Mathematically, you don't think that that's possible. 20 to fight 200. Or increase the number 100 to 1,000. You say, no, the imbalance here, right, is definitely on their side. But it's not weaponry and it's not armory and it's not these things alone. The physical thing matters, but only up to what level? The most important thing is conviction. Conviction. And conviction that is based on what Allah loves is undefeatable. Cannot be defeated. Now, we are incredibly fortunate that in this hadith and in similar hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells you how to be strong. Like instructs you how to be strong. And you have to be grateful that you have this. It's like as if the Prophet ﷺ is telling you, here, you don't have to figure this out. Here it is. Take it. Just digest it. So here I call that the roadmap to strength. But again, a strength that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves. So the first one is where the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, إِحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ. Strive, this is number one in the roadmap to strength, strive towards what benefits you. And for you to strive towards what benefits you, you have to know what benefits you. Right? How do you know what benefits you? What is the beneficial and the harmful? Who tells you? Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's where knowledge comes in. Know what is beneficial and know what is harmful. Be able to distinguish between them and now eagerly seize what benefits you. Run after it. Ask for it. Strive. Don't give up. You say, what will is going to give me the motivation to do all of this? It says, what gives you motivation to do anything in life? But realizing the goal deserves the effort. So again, revisit, why is it that you're doing all of this? Meaning, do you want Jannah? Do you want the hereafter? Do you want your life to make sense? Because I understand at times when we say Jannah and the hereafter, as if we're talking about something is so far off in the future that it doesn't matter right now. Let's talk about the here and now. Do you want to be happy now? Do you want like for your life to make sense? Do you want to be able to answer life's most difficult questions? Why am I here? Why am I alive? Does it matter if I'm alive? Why do I suffer? What's the meaning of all of this? Do you want it to all make sense? Do you want to be able to repel the shaitan and his whispers? Do you want to live happy? How will you be able to do all of this if Islam is not there? If the answers of Islam are not there? What answers do you have? You're just going to eat and drink and be happy? Then repeat, eat and drink and be happy? What do you do when you become sick? What do you do when you're going to lose a loved one? And you have to lose a loved one. What are you going to do when you fail? What is the answer? Then will I come back to Allah Azza wa Jal? But these things could destroy you because you're not ready. So you are saving yourself here and now before we're even talking about the Day of Judgment. Here and now, if you're not going to save yourself with Islam, then modern life, contemporary life is going to crush you. You're not going to be able to save yourself, let alone your spouse, let alone your children. Because you don't have the quwwah, the strength to do this. And you're addicted to the dunya like everybody else. So if what you want is valuable, then seize it, seek it, run after it. إِحْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ. You see the people of the dunya, if they can get a dollar, they will run after it. Now, be as greedy. If you get a hasana, run after it. One hasana, run after it. Because that hasana could be the thing that makes you happy today. I'm not even wanting to be talking about the Day of Judgment. It's coming and it will be most beneficial then. But today, it's going to could push away a bout of depression, anxiety, a whisper of the shaitan, an illness, a physical illness, a testing that visits your kids. It could do that. What hasana? So seize it. And it will make you feel better and closer to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you say yourself, well, I mean, I'm lazy, force yourself until it's a habit. Remember when you used to have to study, or maybe some of you are still, and you say, I don't feel like it, what do? You force yourself. You create the atmosphere for studying because you need to. So the same thing, you force yourself until it's a habit. Don't surrender to it and say, I'm lazy, I'm tired, there are better things to do. So strive, that's number one, towards what benefits you. Run after it. So with your heart and with your body. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. And seek Allah's assistance. Ask Him for help And don't be helpless. لا تعجز. Don't sit back and say, I tried and I failed. Or even if I try, I'll fail. Don't be helpless. If on your own, I could agree with you. If we are left to our own, I could agree with you that we're weak. We can't do much. But if you couple striving with asking Allah and relying on Him, we can say the sky is the limit by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. You see the difference here. If Allah leaves you to your own strength, you can do very little. And you'll fail. And we'll collapse. And I'll say, fine, that's it. We're human beings and we are weak. But with Allah Azza wa Jal, you're not weak. Do you believe that? With Allah Azza wa Jal, Dhul Quwwati al-Mateen, the most strong, the one that no one can defeat, no one can overpower. And He is next to you and He's supplying you with energy and power, you're not weak. And if you believe that, Allah through that gives you all the strength that you have, all the strength that you need. So trust Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't sit back helpless saying, I cannot. With Allah's power, you can. And if there's something that you cannot, Allah will make it plain to you that you cannot and will direct you to another path. You can't do this, but so many other things that you can do. But with Allah's help, you can. So believe and don't sit back helpless. Right? And then He also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to complete that roadmap to strength. And do not say here, lamenting the past, saying, if I had done this and that, would it have been different? But say, Allah destined and He does whatever He wills. Because if you say these things, the shaitan enters into your life. Immediately. If I had simply not gone there on that day, did this instead of that, chosen this instead of that, listened to this advice or did not listen to that advice, my life would have been different. It does you no good when you think like that, because what it does is destroys you. Right? You start sinking deep into despair and regret. And then you revisit the past and you cannot escape it. And you start to not only blame yourself, but then blame Allah Azza wa Jal for your choices. But if you believe something as simple as you could not have done anything to change the past, and it must have happened the way that it happened, no matter what, you will let go of the past. If I failed in doing something, nothing that you could have done would have changed the outcome. No word, no advice, no step, nothing. So that closes the door of the shaitan and closes the door of regret and allows you to proceed forward. So if you find yourself trapped, as many of us do from time to time in the past, remember the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and don't invite the shaitan into your life by saying, if we could have done something differently. Allah wanted it to happen exactly the same way that it happened. Rather, learn from it, grow because of it, ask Allah Azza wa Jal for lessons from it, but move on. And focus on the first. Strive towards what benefits you. Because the past and drowning in the past doesn't benefit you. So if you go to the first one, it tells you that the past needs to be left alone. Focus on what benefits you. Does this help? Yes, do it. You know how simple that is, but so hard. Does this help? No, don't do it. Same as far as, you know, whatever pursuit in life, whatever question, even some of our question, you could even ask yourself or somebody else, why are you asking this question or making this inquiry? Does it help you? No? Then revisit the need to ask that question. So wise, subhanAllah, so wise, but it's harder to implement because we're not used to it. But kind of consider that as an important filter in our lives. If it's beneficial, do it. If it's not, stop and let go of it, right? A few final remarks, inshallah. First of all, Allah Azza wa Jal, and He deserves all of our love because of it. If Allah Azza wa Jal does not teach us these things, people will not be able to. If He does not save us from our own bad thoughts and memories, from our own weaknesses, from relying on our own selves and collapsing because of it, if He does not come to our aid, we'll be helpless. We will be cynical. We will be sad. We'll be drowning in our own sadness. Yet Allah Azza wa Jalla comes and He saves us from all of that. And the fact that He had sent all of this in His revelation, in the Quran, in the Sunnah, for that, He deserves all of our gratitude and He deserves all of our love. Because He could have simply kept that information, but He did not. He made it an obligation for us to seek it. And He sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and He strived to deliver it so that we could live better and be happier and be more fruitful and stronger. So for that, Allah Azza wa Jal deserves praise and Allah deserves love because He didn't have to, but it's only for our own benefit. And when we do what benefits us, He rewards us. And we stay away from how it harms us, He rewards us. So it all is for us, not for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, you really need to love Him. And then you understand that no one really loves you like Allah Azza wa Jal. No one gives you everything and rewards you for it like Allah Azza wa Jal. No one protects you like Allah and then rewards you for it like Allah Azza wa Jal. For that, Allah deserves your love. The second is, again, just to emphasize, how do you become a strong believer? So you remember the pillars that we talked about, right? So knowledge. So learn for Allah's sake, not to brag. Learn for Allah's sake to implement and to be better and to be stronger. And so that this knowledge will bring you closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you would love Him more and understand Him more. And if He sends you something that you don't understand, you trust Him enough to say, I trust your wisdom and I trust the direction that you are setting me on. And I love you with all my heart, even if I don't understand everything that is happening to me. And whether you give me or you take away from me, I love you. But this has to be based on a devoted relationship. And it can only happen if you know Allah. And you cannot know Allah unless you understand Islam. So knowing Allah is a must. So you want to be a strong believer? Know more, right? And seek it from the right sources. Commit yourself to it and to Islam. Practice what you know, meaning worship Allah Azza wa Jal and keep worshiping Him subhanahu wa ta'ala at every opportunity that you have, and also help people with the strength that you have. The strength of iman, the physical strength, oratory skills, whatever you have, right? Help people with it and make that a life goal of yours. Whatever you can help, help somebody. Muslim or non-Muslim, but help as many people as you can, because this elevates you with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why is the strong believer, and that's the question, why is the strong believer more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla than the weak believer? So we understand, if you understand how he or she became strong, you understand why they are more beloved. Because they didn't just simply were given that strength of iman. They had to do what? Acquire it. They had to be patient every single day, and they had to be striving every single day, and they had to sacrifice, and they had to say no to the dunya and yes to Allah Azza wa Jal. Between the Quran and social media, they had to choose the Quran every single day, because the temptation is there every single day. Between maybe going out and having fun in places that are haram and coming to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, or even staying home away from the haram, they had to make that choice every single day. Between staying up and doing things that at best are useless, at worst that are haram, and sleeping early to wake up for Fajr, which no one is going to praise you for except Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Whereas your friends will be saying, stay up and let's have fun and let's do this and that. They had to say no to this every single day. So they had to put Allah Azza wa Jal ahead. And that sacrifice is noted. And that strength increases every day. And it's noted. So Allah Azza wa Jal loves them because of it. So first, because they in themselves strived and they were sincere and they did their very best. And also because when they have that strength of Iman, they could help everybody around them. So-and-so gets tempted with this and that, they have an answer. They give the answer to them, or they console them, or they hold their hands, or they drive them here, right? Or they take them to someone who could give them advice. But they are a positive influence that Allah loves. So they're most helpful because they have something to give. So that strength of Iman makes them more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal because they are more beloved to people and more beneficial to people. They have strength against doubts and they can answer them. Somebody said this and this about the Quran or the Sunnah or the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and this, and someone is confused. They have an answer. They have strength against temptations. This is attractive. This is attractive. How do I overcome that addiction or that attraction? They have an answer. They have a means to do that. So they could save people because they are close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is where their strength comes from. And it ultimately comes, if they do not love Allah Azza wa Jal, they cannot be strong. Because that sacrifice, you're not going to sacrifice the love of the dunya for Allah Azza wa Jal unless you love Allah. Otherwise, it's impractical, impossible. I tell you, give up money for the sake of what? For the sake of something else that I love more. And it has to be something greater than money. So that's why we have to grow the love of Allah in our hearts to be able to give up what is not needed from the dunya to be able to sacrifice it lillah azza wa jalla. So we'll stop here, inshaAllah.